And now we turn our attention to the Lord's table. If you've been a Christian any length of time at all, and if you are an observer of people, you probably have noticed that on any given Lord's Day, in any given assembly of God's people as they are gathered around their table, the Lord's table, there are two distinct groups of people. There is, on the one hand, those that are now sort of settled in. You can almost see by their body language, they scoot back, they shut their eyes, and they are anticipating a time where they are touched in their heart with the significance of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's almost as if, bring the emotions to me. Wash me one more time. Let me hear the word. And bring to my eyes those tears once again. There are also that other group. And again, you can almost see them by their body language. They're the ones that they're leaning forward. Again, eyes shut, furrowed brow. And they're wanting some meat. Give me something, some point of doctrine about the table, about the body, the blood, the sacrifice, the substitution, the deliverance that I can sink my teeth into right here and now. Not so much speak to my heart, but I want you to speak to my head. And both are appropriate. Both are necessary when we come to the table. And I hope and pray that the thoughts that we share together this morning will be effective for both groups. That both our hearts and our minds will be brought to the Lord's table. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and come with me to the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. We have been looking at Moses and God's deliverance of His people from the Egyptians. And now, for just a few brief moments, we want to look at the life of another man of God and another enemy of God's people. Right now, let's look at Samuel. The enemies are the Philistines. And in 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 12, 1 Samuel 7, verse 12, we read these words. Then Samuel took a stone, and he set it up between Mizpah and Shen. And he called the stone Ebahar Ezer, saying, "This far has Yahweh helped us." And so the Philistines were subdued and did not invade Israelite territory again. Here I raise my Ebenezer. It is from this text that Robeson wrote that great line into that beautiful old hymn, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." And usually in most of our songbooks, there's a little subscript, and it gives the definition of Ebenezer. Because let's face it, for our kids, outside of the context of this verse and song, Ebenezer is Scrooge. Samuel says, "Here I raise my Ebenezer." He lifts up a stone. The idea here in the context is Samuel does this by himself. The context could allow for that he had the army's help to do this. But imagine for a moment it's just Samuel and he raises up this stone. A couple of things I think we can conclude correctly. Number one, it wasn't a round boulder. Because how would you know that you'd set it up? It was longer than it was wider. And if it is only Samuel, about the most that a human being can raise or lift, even with the help of a lever, would be about 1,000 pounds. But a significant stone. Men have always lifted up stones as monuments. The ancient Egyptians did this. They called them obelisks. Easter Island is covered up with stones that we can't explain how they did it, where they came from, carved in the likeness of human faces. Washington Monument, Washington, D.C., is a stone lifted up. And all of these stones, every single one of them, all of them throughout human history, raised up in honor or in remembrance of some man. Even the Washington Monument. Samuel lifts up this stone and he calls it Ebenezer, Ebahar-nezer, the stone of the help. Yahweh is our help. It is only by His aid that we have come thus far. And the significance of the stone was that as time moves forward, the children of Israel had a point of reference as they looked to that stone and they could tell their children the significance of that stone and why it was raised up and what it was to remind them about. There is a very real sense in which this table spread is an Ebenezer. It is a point of reference lifted up for us by the Lord Himself. A point of reference that we come back to each Lord's Day, and it reminds us of the great deliverance that God has brought about for us. Now, as we try to make that connection, I want to spend just a few moments and read the backstory of why Samuel raises his Ebenezer and the credit that he gives to the Lord, and then we'll draw some parallels to our Christ. And God willing, our hearts and our minds will be prepared to come to the table this morning. If you go back to the beginning of chapter 7, and verse 2, the account really begins. The Holy Spirit records for us, it was a long time, 20 years in all, that the ark remained at Kiriath Jearim. Now stop right there. It's been 20 years since what? It's been 20 years since the ark had been captured by the Philistines and had been taken into the Philistine towns and territories and had been brought into the presence of their god Dagon. And you remember the story. They come in the next morning and the idol is bowed down. They set their idol back up. The next morning the idol is broken in pieces before the ark of Yahweh. The people become scared. They also become afflicted with disease. They send the ark from town to town to town among the Philistines, and the disease continues to spread. Finally, nobody wants it, and they say, let's send it back. Let's send it back to those people to whom it belongs. We cannot have their God in our midst. And so, interestingly, they build a brand new cart, and they put the ark on it. They get milk cows. In fact, cows that have baby calves. They pin up the calves. This is the most unnatural thing in the world, right? For these mama cows to leave their babies and to go off toward Israelite territory. They knew that God would bring this about. And can I just remind you, they're not under covenant relationship with God. So building a new cart was the best they could do, as opposed to when the children of God did that and Uzzah got struck. All right, you get that. They send the ark back, along with golden tumors, lovely, that represented the very diseases that were on their body. They send it back. Go! All right, now it's been 20 years. And the ark has been in the presence of God's people at Kiriath Jearim, and all the people of Israel mourned and sought after Yahweh. We know this pattern repeats itself throughout the book of Judges. Verse 3, "And Samuel said to the whole house of Israel, if you are returning to Yahweh with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Ashtaroths and commit yourselves to Yahweh and serve Him only. And He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." If I can, for just a moment, let me step out of the Old Testament story for just a minute. And let's just bring it home. Do you see what Samuel is saying? All right, if you're sincere about this, then get rid of the other gods. I'm telling you, you want to know the most miserable person today on planet Earth? It's the person that has one foot in the church and one foot in the world and can't make up his mind. Get rid of the foreign gods. If you are for the Lord, then be for the Lord. If you are a Christian, then be a Christian. That isn't an add-on to anything else that can be said about you. Back to the story. "Then Samuel said, assemble all of Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede for Yahweh for you. And when they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before Yahweh. On that day they fasted, and there they confessed, we have sinned against Yahweh. And Samuel was judge of Israel at Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. And when the Israelites heard it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. And they said to Samuel, do not stop crying out to Yahweh our God for us, that He may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines. And then Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it up as a whole burnt offering to Yahweh. And he cried out to Yahweh on Israel's behalf. And Yahweh answered him. And while Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day, the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them all along the way to the point below Beth Kar. And Samuel took a stone and he raised it up. I don't know about you, but there are two things in this story that I absolutely love. Number one, I love when the Lord acts in such a mighty, powerful way. There are so many times when what God does, He is doing through people or behind the scenes. But in those moments, when God thunders, don't we love that? And He thunders in such a way that He takes care of the enemy. There's something else about this story that I absolutely love. I love it when we come to the places in God's Word when we see God's people doing the right thing in the right way at the right time. I mean, let's face it, there are a lot of times when God's people don't do the right thing. But here, they're right on target. Do you get the picture? Do you get the symbol? They come before Him. They come for the purpose of worshiping God. They get the message of Samuel. They put away their household gods. And so what do? They come. They come confessing their sin. They come fasting. They have come for the purpose of worshiping. And here they are in a vulnerable place. They are gathered around the sacrifice. Don't miss the imagery. It is a lamb. A suckling lamb. Pure, whole, perfect, whole burnt offering that Samuel is lifting up and all of Israel is assembled around it. And the Philistines, the enemy, takes note of this. From their perch all around on the high cliffs, they look down, they see, they're at their weakest. They're not prepared for battle. Let's get them. And so now here come the thundering hordes of the Philistines, and God's people for once don't say, what are we going to do? They don't say, grab your swords, let's go get them. They don't say, flee for the hills. Look at what they do say. They know that without God they are sitting ducks, and they look at Samuel and they say, don't you dare stop. Don't you dare stop that sacrifice, and don't you dare stop your crying out to the Lord on our behalf, because He is our only hope. And it is in response to that faith and that obedience that the Lord thunders from heaven. And He takes care of them. He takes care of the Philistines, and now that God has done His work, now we can grab our swords and go get on out of here. And it is because of this, because of what the Lord did, but also because of the right attitude of the people, that Samuel says, right here, right now, we are lifting up a stone. We are raising an Ebahariezer. We are lifting up a stone that says, this was the Lord's doing. And so here we are, gathered around the sacrifice. And in so many ways, to the world and to the enemy, we must look so vulnerable at this moment. But I tell you what, we dare not take our eyes off of the Lamb. We dare not take our eyes off of the sacrifice given for us. It is because of that sacrifice that we are saved. You see, we come to this table and we participate in this bread that represents His body, and we participate in this cup that represents His blood, not in order to gain salvation. This is not a sacrament. But we come to this table and we share in this supper, not in order to get salvation, but because we have received salvation. And because by faith we believe that this body and this blood is significant, this meal has value. And we are here, and we don't want to be anywhere else. So as we come for the purpose of remembering this great memorial that Christ Himself has raised up for us, His people, let us remember the sacrifice that was made on our behalf, and how the enemy thought he was getting the victory at Calvary, but how 3 days later, from the empty tomb, God thundered, and the enemy ran. This body that represents the sacrifice, and this cup that is the new covenant represented for us who have come to the foot of the cross. Let us consider this Ebenezer and share together now in the supper.